You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Mary Chang. She's talking to me from Brooklyn. Mary, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me, Brainerd.
So let's talk about some of your projects that have been completed in the last year or so, or if not completed, ones that you're working on. I know there's a few things. Where should we start?
Well, I think one thing I'd like to talk about is that I recently, in the last 2.5 years, have my own studio. I've been working from home, which is fine, but now I have a place that's like designated space that I can create in and be away from the day-to-day things. I mean, they may still be in the back of my mind, but in terms of the space is designated for my work and I'm able to create larger works. So with that being said, that space was actually made possible by Spaceworks New York City, and they provide spaces for artists, and without that I wouldn't be able to afford. So that means a great deal to me. Some of the recent projects I've done, I'm an interdisciplinary artist, and I work between painting, printmaking, theater, and movement. Those are my art forms. And recently, I collaborated with Maya Milenovic Workman, who is a writer and director and educator, along with Ayana Workman and Reggie Workman, the renowned bassist. And we did a play, and I had an opportunity to bring my theater work back after a few years of being away from it. And I played an energy called The Voice, and the work was centered around the underserved, and the text was done in prose, and it was quite exciting, and we worked as a trio. Then I was preparing for an exhibition that was in the Netherlands. It was at the Cacao Fabric, and artistic director is Julian Tulman, and Elise Tuck is a curator, and she's a wonderful artist. I had met her a few years back, and we got to know each other, and she saw some of my work. And what's interesting about this particular exhibition, that 14 American artists went to the Netherlands and worked as a collective and showed there. And it's a wonderfully respected institute, and I had a chance even to work at the institute a bit. And I traveled a bit afterwards to Europe, which was quite wonderful. I went to Italy. After that, I'm moving a little ahead. I had the opportunity in that particular exhibition titled A New York State of Mind, Stories from the Unusual Suspect. I worked with a wonderful composer, Patricia Lee Stotta, who is a Kitai Emmy Award winner. And she collaborated with me on a short that I did for the exhibition titled Interplay. And there was a second short titled Shantak, in honor of my father, but for all those who tread water and are still treading water. And that was a collaboration with a dear friend, filmmaker Rain Parrish. She's a writer, director, and composer, quite marvelous as well. You know, it's interesting how in working sometimes these relationships evolve into new work. And upon returning to New York, I had an opportunity to meet Patricia Lee Stotta. This month. And she had a project that she's been working on with the poet Paul Ganega for about 10 years. She had me take a look at it, and I gave her some of my flickering images on it. And I was asked, would I consider joining the team? And of course I said yes. So that is a work to be. And Patty and Paul work a lot with post-war trauma soldiers, women and men. And the name of the work is titled Paging Dr. Faustus. So right now the work has been written, but it's developing a new direction, and we'll be meeting actually on the 29th of this month to begin. That, what I would say, is going to take some time, and I'm looking forward to it. And we don't have anything sealed. We're just really open and allowing it to evolve along with where the text is. Elise Talk will be working with that, and Tanya Gupta, who did was the filmmaker on Interplay in the Netherlands with me as well.
So these are a lot of collaborations, of course, that you're having. And we started off, you have a bigger studio and you're painting in there. I mean, you're making larger images. But at the same time, over the last year, these are really kind of large-scale collaborations, it sounds like.
Yeah, they just kind of, you know, I have to pinch myself sometimes. But I just take a deep breath. And I love the process. And I just try to trust myself more and more. That's all I can do. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm never really good when I do. And the process is much more interesting than me having the answers at the end or deciding what it's actually going to be. It's taken time to learn that, I'm telling you. I didn't start in the theater until I was about 36, and I returned to painting at 47.
So you return to painting then, but maybe we should talk about that, because they've come together now, right? You were in the theater for quite a while and spent quite a bit of time there and co-wrote a play. And you did a lot kind of within the theater before you came back to painting, right? You were also painting before you got involved in the theater?
Well, in the late 60s, I went to school for a short time, and then I stopped, and I had a child. And I was just felt so lost, and I wasn't really functioning in school. Sure, I was functioning, I was painting, but it just wasn't clicking. I felt empty. I can't explain it. And then I was pregnant with this child, and it kind of like gave me new life. And then I met my partner about 5 years ago, and we've been together since 74, John Falk. And he's been marvelous. But I mean, it's been a journey, and I've always had that little voice questioning in the back of my head, knowing that I always wanted to do what I do, because I've always did it even as a child. I mean, except I didn't know I was an artist. You know, you just find ways to create things, to make things. You look at everything in ways that are, I mean, and we all do it, I'm sure, like turning iron boards upside down, throwing the sheets on top. My parents were great, though.
That's the key, though. It's also how your parents encourage or discourage that. We may all have that within us, but some parents are more encouraging than others. It sounds like yours were.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, my mother was bipolar, so but she always encouraged the art. My parents, I didn't come, you know, my father worked very hard. He was a porter, and I don't know how he did it. My grandmother pitched in. I had music lessons. I had dance lessons. They always tried to present things to me, swimming, everything, ice skating. So, I mean, I just had a lot of fun as a kid. Later on, in high school, I kind of felt a little lost, and I came out, you know, feeling a little lost, and I went to college, went to visual arts, but I wasn't focused there. I mean, I always enjoyed painting and doing collages and, you know, just taking anything and just putting it together, assemblages. But I stopped. And I worked, and it was for many years. And then I did the illustration because in high school I studied design. I went to fashion industries. And I worked for a man who, I don't want to say he wasn't so nice. Obviously, he was very frustrated. And I left. And that's when I started reflecting and started going on this journey in terms of inner reflection and getting in touch with myself. And I started to feel a little more anchored. Nothing is ever, I wasn't looking for perfection, but there was an emptiness that had nothing to do with things. That's what I'm saying. And then bridging my art back to me gave me what I needed, even though I felt unsure with my footing, but it was all right because I'd rather be there.
And so the year that you came back to painting and began doing more visual work was when? We're getting up to that, right? That was
It started, I would say, 99.
That was with the Skylight Gallery is what that
yes,
was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, my friend Ani Millar was a friend and a mentor. She was my dear friend. We went to school together. Ani was her mom. That's Rain Parrish, the filmmaker. And Ani just was wonderful. I mean, I lived with her when my son was a year old, and what I learned from Ani, which also I learned from my dad, but even encouraged more, was the nurturing of your spirit. And that just felt so good. You know, it didn't matter.
And what does that mean exactly? I mean, that sounds so powerful, the nurturing of your spirit. For an artist, of course, that's important.
Well, it means
that you're getting back into art. So, yeah, what does that mean for
you?
How does one do that?
You have so much inside of you to give, the light, the love, that you don't have to hold on tight. You can release, and you start seeing things in a different way. You know, we do have a lot in us, and sometimes that within us can be overwhelming. We don't know what it is, but sometimes we forget to find it. Maybe that's what I'm saying. You know, every day it comes out different, brain on.
Right. And so then you began painting in the early 2000s, the
mm-hmm.
turn of the millennium, till now. And it sounds like recently there's been a shift in your work, right? Because
there
you have your own studio and your larger work.
Yeah, there's been a shift. I mean, I've gone in and out because actually my late sister, I took time off, and then I took time to also help with my nephew. But in the last, I took a break from about 2012, about 4 years, and then I came back slowly. But I didn't feel pressured by it because I had already knew that I was shedding this kind of skin, and I knew that I had to go in the way the energy would allow me to. And I didn't resist it as much. You know, I didn't race about it, you know. When I say that, I'm saying that I accepted where I was and what I needed to do. And when the time was right, I knew that I would return to painting. And at that time, I met Elise Tock, and we became friends, and I did a couple of independent shows with her. And then she asked me to join this exhibition, New York State of Mind, Stories from the Unusual Suspects, that would take place in the Netherlands.
And so let me ask you a little bit about that, but also about, it seems, the community you were building. You were showing, very regularly through these years, you know, as you're saying, with some breaks for different things, but you've been showing very regularly around New York and Brooklyn and Queens. Was there a community or a network you had that encouraged you showing, or how did that come about? Because we're all busy, but you know, you're also very busy and doing a lot of things. How did all those your activity come about within all that, all those exhibits?
Well, I met Danny Simmons actually with Rush Art, and he actually gave me my first exhibition at a gallery called Saka Gallery. And then after that, I guess my work started to be seen, and I knew Otto Neal. He's a wonderful sculptor and painter and printmaker. And I met him through Ani Millar. And Otto is in Brooklyn, and he's been working as an artist for many years. And he invited me to their gallery. At the time, it was called the Dorsey Gallery. And I showed there a few times, and people became familiar with my work. I worked again at the Skylight Gallery, and I did a few shows with Rush Arts, and I worked with Charlotte McQuan. And just slowly, I had the evolution of being asked to be in shows, but I wasn't seeking a gallery at that time, and I haven't yet. I think right now what I want to do is go back, and I have some new work I'm feeling. I want to see what it is. I want to let that come out.
And the new work that you're making, to talk a little bit about that, that's large-scale canvases is what you're making, or larger canvases?
Well, I have 3 7-foot canvases that I'm going to work on, and then I will go back. I usually work about sizes like 36 by 36 or 48 by 48, so those aren't tremendously large. I've never 7 feet are the largest I've worked with, but I have them. I stretched them. We were going to originally take them out to the Netherlands, but the sizes change, and I have them there, so I have some ideas for them. I work with spray paint, and I've learned to be comfortable with it, but that usually takes place in the spring and the fall because I have to be outdoors and I wear a respirator. And I've learned that I've had comfortable with it in terms of allowing my hand and my body to move in as though it's an extension of me. I like to use a lot of movement in my work. And I
tell me, I'm sorry, yeah, go on. No, that's fine. I love what you're saying. I'll stop you when I want to hear more, but if I'm saying it right, Shentak, you made a video that had, that seemed so much about movement and was very interesting. You're kind of moving through the sand and there's paint on the video. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Am I saying that right, Shentak?
Yes, you're saying it perfectly. I'll tell you the funny thing about that. Yes, that Rain Parish is the filmmaker, composer, and writer. We collaborated on that. And we were at Scarborough's Bluff in Canada. I went out to her to do it. We went to the space. We talked about a little bit about doing something with my father, but not necessarily all about my father, that it was a representation to deal with treading water. And we were by the beach. And instead of scripting out everything, what I did was we've worked together before, took in the environment, and she allowed me to find my way in the environment, and she took a bunch she filmed sections of what I was doing, and then we talked about it, and there's a lot of overlaying of my art into the piece. We decided not to have dialogue, and we talked about the music, how what we wanted it to feel like, and basically,
it seems kind of wonderfully playful, that video. There's there's a, you know, a seriousness to it, but also the movements you're making seem to relate a little bit to what you were saying early on, this, the, in terms of how you actually paint the kind of movements you're making, but also the kind of freedom that you allow yourself.
Yes. I wanted to trust that and not overthink it or do what I call a representation of worrying about if it's understood or not understood. It was a quiet day. The water was cold, but I allowed myself to embrace it. It was the only way to go in. And we were able to do it. We just did it.
Exciting. And do you plan on making more videos like that? It's such an interesting, I mean, to talk also about, you know, theater background and everything, in a way, it seems to come together in that, though abstract, you know, your movement, your body, your gestures, in a moving visual format, a video. Is that something you're going to make more of or collaborate more on, do you think?
Well, I believe I will. I have my iPhone, and I went and bought some equipment to go with it. I'm learning, I would say. I don't want to say I'm not, because then it puts a block there. My skills with technology need to advance. But I definitely, Tanya Gupta and I will be doing some projects together. And I thought, from Interplay, utilizing some of the footage that Tanya and I collaborated on, that we took, because that piece was interesting also. It wasn't scripted. It was done in Fort Greene Park, which is interesting. It's a historic park, and Washington Fort there. It's in Brooklyn, in the Fort Greene section of Brooklyn. And I just love the architecture of the park, the movement of the park, the open space. I played there as a kid, so I chose that area. And Maya Milanovic Workman and Milani Guzman were the movement artists in the work. They've never worked with each other, and they never worked with me. They agreed to work with me. We did not rehearse. The idea was to go there and connect. The only thing that was clear was that we would start with this section, and the space was the thing that was clear. Everything else would be as though you went there for the first time, because it was, and you would move together around, between, and exchange your energy.
I like that. Mary, it's wonderful talking to you about your work and the connection between, you know, movement and your past, and also the new work you're making, which is exciting. But before we go, I want to ask you, is there anybody else you want to mention or before I end the interview?
Yes, I would like to thank my family, my daughter Raina, my son Craig, my husband John, for all the years of support and belief. Amazing. I would also like to thank my acting coach and mentor, Anthony Aitken, my friend, Rain Parrish, and I have to say my dear friend, Nikki Baker, because she has always just been right there in terms of understanding what I was doing as an artist, which had nothing to do with finances, just the work. And there's so many other people, but it would be hard to name them all.
Mary, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today, and I wish you the best in your coming projects and shows.
Thank you, Brainard. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do. You give a lot, and I thank you for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do. It's been a pleasure.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.